Hare Krishna, dear Radha devotees. Okay, so now that I have your attention, if some devotees come in, please make sure to get some space, or if there is some. If the devotees are sitting here, can fill up to the sides so that all spaces are taken. As you must all know by now, Krishnadas and myself have been asked to give class by Maharaj. We were not very excited about it. Apart from that, we actually, in the first instance, refused. And he pushed, then I refused. He continued pushing, and eventually he just did everything so that I would give class. And I was trying to follow every single argument. I don't want to give class in the temple because I felt unqualified. And he's like, okay, but you can move to the blue room then. And just more and more arguments, and eventually I had to say yes. And I was honestly a little scared to learn, he made sure that another person does it with me, so this is a unique two people class. And I hope it will be successful, and we'll present something that's valuable and everyone will learn. So last week Maharaj talked about kirtan, and he mainly emphasized the three levels in the chanting, as well as the quantity and the quality of the chanting. This week I will be emphasizing the importance of kirtan itself in its whole, and Krishnadas will be giving more specific details on the practical ways of doing kirtan, and how it would be nice to have certain standards in these ways. So, last thing we can ask is the blessing from all the devotees, that both of us do something appropriate, and please forgive us for any offenses we're going to commit. Yeah, so I would like to sing the invocation if everyone can join in. Om Ajnana Nirvanasya Ajnana Jnana Shalakaya Charashira
Sahagatam Sahadurtam Parijana Saritam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Saragana Raghunam Shri Nukaram Vitam Shra Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhu Inya Mahandu Jagarpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Raja Kanta Namaskute Dasta Kanchana Gopalani Raja Krishna Ramaneshwari Vishamanu Sute Devi Aramami Hari Priye Vanchamayaka Sarvi Vyascha Kila Sindhu Vyayvacha Vandiyanam Vavayayka Vyascha Yodamo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Sarasati Gauravata Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Eva Kevalam Hello, Naste, Naste, Manaste, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hello, Naste, Naste, Manaste,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hello, Naste, Manaste, Manaste,
So, I've precisely chosen to talk about this specific verse, which to me, and to probably all devotees here, means a lot, if not, you know, the most, because it emphasizes what is most important for us in this yuga and what we should be doing constantly. In this age of Kali, there's no other means, no other means, no other means for self-realization than chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name of Lord Hari. In this verse, we can see that twice we repeat three times. There's no other means, and it's chanting the holy name. And why it's repeated three times, and I mean, this is a known exception, I would say, in many verses. It's one of the few verses, if not the only one, where there's so much emphasis on this, is because it makes sure that you understand how important it is. It makes sure you understand that it's the most important. And Srila Prabhupada gets in the purport, you know, text 23 to the Ali Lila, that one repeats it this time, three times, as one repeats to someone, you know, do this, do this, do this, to make sure the person really understands that this is of ultimate importance and that he has to do it. And if you take this seriously, this opens your door to going back to your spiritual. There's no other answer to this. I mean, this is exactly what it gives you. And chanting the holy names is, we can see the power there is, and the power that is going around. Just by all the kirtans we have, for instance, in the temples, the harinams we have outside, the kirtan programs we have in different places. In all these places, you will talk philosophy with someone, many people will be a little laid back and be like, I don't know, you know, it's not my thing. But once it's something that has to do with music, once it's something that has to do with chanting, it's almost an automatic thing for them to feel attracted and to enjoy what they're hearing. And we see it in the kirtan programs we've had over the past years, and even we can take example on different kirtan programs there are in America and in all these different countries. There's so many people that come that have no clue what Krishna consciousness is, but they come just to chant. And that shows how powerful the Maha Mantra is and how important already kirtan can mean for these people, even with them not knowing exactly what it is. And this slowly purifies them, depending of course on the purity in which they're chanting. And this elevates them. And this is how Prabhupada even mentioned that back in these days, they would already come just to the movement just by hearing a Harinam in the streets. So, I mean, we have a few examples of devotees like this. One very strong example that came to my mind is Radhanath Swami. Because I read his book a year and a half ago. And then I got the fortune to meet him last January in England, and I got to speak with him for 10 minutes. And the first interaction we had was just talking about Radhesh, about him in Chapati. And then at one point, you know, there was nothing that was being fit, so I really had a burning question that came up in my mind, and I took the opportunity to ask him this. In his book, he mentions that at one point he's sitting on a rock in the middle of the Ganga, and that mystically the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra comes to him, and that's how he learned it, and that's how he started singing. And so I was always curious, how exactly did the Maha Mantra come to him? You know, it's too mystical for me, I need to know, I need an answer. And so I asked him this question, and so, I mean, I explained, so you say, you know, the Ganga just gave it to you, and I tried to get an answer out of him, and he just looked at me. He didn't say anything for like 10 seconds. And eventually he just gave a very, very big smile. And he said, yes, this is exactly what happened. So, of course, this I don't know the precise end to this story, and maybe I'll never know. But this is the first thing that brought him closer to the Krishna consciousness movement, because he started singing this, and this became his regular sadhana. And it's just after that he met devotees to join them this time, and he came to Prabhupada's movement. So we can see that the Maha Mantra, without even being in touch with our Krishna consciousness movement, so powerful, it was given to him. And then it brought him to us. So, and we're very, very grateful for this. And yeah, of course, as I explained before, we have those different, you know, kirtan parties all over. And it's just amazing how recently it has become such a big thing throughout the whole world. You see, especially in America, they have now kirtan festivals with a few thousand people that come, you know, and then there's all these famous kirtan singers, and they all come, sing all together, and it's become a famous and a good thing, you know, and people from high place in society go to join this. It's not just the hippies like in the old days, it's people from good standards that come and in this wonderful mood chant along and love this kind of meditation. And that's the beginning of a long process which eventually brings them to Krishna consciousness. So it's just amazing to see in this recent years how just all over the world has become such a big thing. In the purport of text 32 of the Abhidhamma, the verse is, raising my hands, I declare, everyone, please hear me. String this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance. The verse that he's talking about is Trinadapi Sunishina Karo Vivasaishina Amadina Manadina. So we know, of course, that the Maha Mantra and just the whole form of it is the most amazing, most exceptional, especially for us. But of course, we need ways to chant it. And we need to know how to chant it. It's not just, oh, I say Hare Krishna, and this is going to bring me back to Godhead. And this is the answer given by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And he says, this verse where you're more tall under a tree, more humble than a blade of grass, that's the mood in which you're supposed to chant. If you chant in this mood, you make automatic advancement, and it will go so quickly. It's such a quick process if you actually take to it. So he says, Prabhupada says in the purport that when chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, in the beginning one may commit offenses, many offenses, which are called namavas, nama aparad. In this stage, there is no possibility of achieving perfect love of Krishna by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is a strong emphasis on all of us that have to do this effort to make our chanting pure. And later I'll be showing a movie, a short clip of Andhra Prabhu emphasizing this and letting us know how important this is. He has his ways, of course, and he's very good at persuading. And that's why one must chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra according to the Trinadapi Sunishina verse, where you are in this mood, and if you really do this, you really meditate upon this, it'll be automatic that you'll just go forward, and it'll be so easy. So, in the purport, Prabhupada continues by saying, one should note in this connection that chanting involves the activities of the upper and lower lips, as well as the tongue. I know a lot of us don't always use all three when chanting. I mean, I'm the first to not always use them. But here, you know, Prabhupada says it's very, very, very important. If you use all of them, then you're properly chanting Hare Krishna. That's the only way to properly pronounce the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And this is exactly what he means. You should be very distinctly pronounced and heard also. You should hear it for yourself. And also, if possible, you let it hear to other devotees. So sometimes one mechanically produces a hissing sound instead of chanting with the proper pronunciation with the help of the lips and tongue. Chanting is very simple, but one must practice it seriously. Therefore, the author of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, advises everyone to keep this verse always strung upon their neck. This verse meaning Trinadapi Sunishina Karo Vivasaishina. If you remember this and you sing with this mood, it's going to be so simple. Of course, it's not easy, but at least that we know we have all the tools. It's up to us to try and use them and make the best out of it. So I'm going to show a short clip from Ayana Prabhu on the topic.
Just me. And Krishna says, you know, Daivi Hesha Guru Mayi Mama Maya Turateya Nam Evaye Prapanyante Mayam Ekam Tranti. What does Mayam Ekam Tranti mean? It means Mam Chiyo Vyavacharina Bhakti Yogena. What kind of Bhakti Yogena? Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. There's only one thing. Eva, certainly, Kevalam, exclusively, only one thing. Kalo Natskeva, 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 Nitsan. There's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way. The prime process in Kali Yuga of devotional service, which includes all of the other processes of devotional service, without doing which no other process of devotional service can be complete. And if only doing that process exclusively, Nam Sankirtan Jagya, one gets the fruit of all other devotional processes. Therefore, Mam Cha Yogya Vicharina, Bhakti Yogena Sevate, Bhakti Yogena Sevate means service to the Holy Name. And service to the Holy Name, the highest service to the Holy Name, one who loudly chants the Holy Name for the benefit of others, according to Haridas Thakur and Chaitanya Bhagwat, quoting from the Skanda Purana, if I'm remembering correctly. Perhaps that's not correct, but I can't remember where he's quoting from. But he's quoting from Shastra. He says that one who chants loudly the holy name of the Lord, you know, is 100 times more pious than one who chants softly only to benefit himself, or chants within the mind. So one who performs Sankirtan, then what is the result of performing Sankirtan? Sagunam Samati Taita, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpati. You easily, Mayam Ekam Tarantite means Sagunam Samati Taita, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpati. You come to the spiritual platform. The spiritual platform means Bhava Bhakti, above the influences of the three modes of material nature, above the conditional platform, above the state of bondage. You don't get Bhava Bhakti without chanting Shudanam. It is Shudanam which is Nija Sarva Shakti. Sarva Shakti is meaning all Shaktis. If it's only partial, not all, then it means that, yes, the material Shaktis are there. So by Aparadhanam, you can associate with Krishna's material Shaktis. But Sarva Shakti means his Antaranga Shaktis, his spiritual Shaktis. Sarup Shakti. It's by the grace of Sarup Shakti that one is elevated to the platform of Bhava. As far as possible, the chanting should be heard from the lips of a pure devotee, not from the lips of a non-devotee. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says clearly that those who are chanting Shudanam, they are actually pure devotees. Those who are chanting Namabhas, they are Vaishnavabhas. Means that they're still more or less in the category of non-devotees. So Nam should be received from a pure devotee. So someone can argue that, well, you know, we're not pure devotees because we're not chanting pure. So why aren't you chanting pure name nonsense? Who's stopping you? Thank you. one stopping you from satisfying Krishna to the point of him agreeing to appear and dance on your tongue? Now stop making excuses. There's no excuse.
This is part of, I think, 8 years ago on YouTube that are each about 15 minutes. It's called Kirtan Standards, and these are very amazing and profound and very deep lectures by Andrew Poole. Some of it is it's very, very intense, so be ready if you click on it to take in. Just to come up again with his last words, he said there's no excuse. And I think he's quite right with this. We often tend to give excuses for everything. And as we saw in the verse previously, this is our only means in this age of Kali Yuga to advancing. This is our only means of going back to Krishna. Yet we always give excuses, even when it comes up to this. Even I mean, I'm the first to give excuses when it comes to hiring on someone like that. It's a nice thing to contemplate about and think if our excuses are really, really worth it, and if we're really supposed to give them, if our excuses have the upper hand in this, because according to Prabhupada, according to our Parampara, this is the upper hand. There's nothing that has to be put higher than that, than chanting the holy names. So I have a second clip of Henry Prabhu. This one is more just on the Harinam Sankirtan. It's a little similar to that one, just that it's a little more easy to digest.
How can we begin to identify with, sympathize with, understand even the moods of the Brajvasis in their anguish and feelings of separation from Krishna? And for that, there is every need to augment, to increase the quality of our chanting of the holy name of Krishna as our only bhajan. It is our only real bhajan. Of all the angas of devotional service, Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy name of Krishna congregationally, is the supreme, most important, most powerful of the 9 processes of devotional service: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, etc. It is Kirtanam, which is inclusive of all the angas of devotional service. It is Kirtan, and not just any Kirtan, of all varieties of Kirtan. It is non-kirtan, which is of paramount importance. It is non-kirtan, because everything is within nam. Nam is everything. If you can know nam, then you can know everything. Yasmin eva vigate. If you know Krishna, if you know Krishna now, and you know Krishna truth, so bhakti. It is only by pure devotion that Krishna is known, that Krishna now is known. And if you know Krishna, if you know Krishna Nam, then you know everything. If you have Krishna, you have Krishna Nam, then you have everything. And you have nothing more to desire or to be gained. So how important it is that we should focus on this principle. Don't let the day go by without making every effort
Once again, Ayanar Prabhu finished with saying, you know, we have to do as much effort as we can. There shouldn't be a day passing by without us giving him all our best. And that is kind of in link with what he said in the other film where he said, there's no excuse also. And, I mean, what we've heard here and what we've heard from a few things I said, I mean, there's no other way of putting it that chanting the holy names is the ultimate, the supreme thing to do, and definitely the thing we should be most keen on doing as devotees. And yeah, unfortunately, it's quite a regular thing for a lot of us to give excuses. And maybe from one side, of course, we all have our worries. And at the same time, it feels like we chant a lot because, you know, we have the morning program, we have our japa time, we have the regular aartis, and we do chant a lot. But that's not doing an effort in a way, because that's just the regular program. If you really think about doing an effort, it's doing something extra to this. And actually, if you look in a lot of letters from Prabhupada and what he writes in his purport, he says often, you know, you should go as much as possible on Harinam. And not give any excuse. Harinam Sankirtan should be the main focus, the most important thing to be done. I found on the internet, in one article, a series of the most common excuses people give. It's really funny. So, if I were to ask you, so Prabhu, are you coming in Harinam today? Well, sorry, you know, it's not really my service. A regular one we hear here is, oh, it's too cold outside. Feeling what? I haven't really finished my japa. I have so many rounds. I have to read, you know. Not this time. There's one very funny one. It's you know, we're brahmacharis, and there are too many young ladies in the city. Some say give their service if the excuse, you know. I have a lot of puja service to do, it's not for me. Or you have a simple, I'm too tired. And there's two more. One is, well, I ate too much Mahaprasad, and I'm not past the afternoon. And finally, the Bhakti anthropologist student's favorite, I have to finish my essay. this is very common, and of course these arguments are, I mean, most of these arguments are valid, and there are times this is of more importance in a sense, but we should not forget that at least once in a while do the effort and put that aside and make this our main focus, because that's really what Srila Prabhupada wanted. So I want to finish with a letter he sent to Rory Ram in May 1769 that emphasizes the importance of Harinam Sankirtan. My advice to you under the circumstances is that at least for 1 hour you must all go to have Sankirtan outside on the street or in the park. That is your life and soul. First bit. The next business is completing the chanting of 16 rounds every day. The next business is your editing. And if you find extra time, then you can attend the temple ceremonies. Otherwise, you can stop these activities. With outdoor kirtan, your editing work and chanting of 16 rounds must be done. Outdoor kirtan must be done even at the cost of suspending all editorial work. That is your first and foremost business. Temple worship is not so important. If needed be, the whole temple can be locked, but the outdoor kirtan cannot be stopped. So, I mean, this is as explicit as it gets. And, I mean, this is Prabhupada's instructions, and, yeah, I mean, there's nothing more to add to that. So, I'm going to let my spot to Krishnadas.
Oh, Jai.
Perhaps you could take questions on your part.
I was going to propose after, because we don't know in time how it's going to go first. If it's okay? Yeah. You can keep your question for after, then.
Yeah, but it would be more meaningful. I could, but it would be more meaningful if the devotees hear the question and answer it when they still have in mind what you've said, because after we hear him, it won't be.
Okay, I guess that's one question.
Okay, I'd like to ask you a question based on your saying there's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way. And I end up saying no other process of devotional service is complete without the Chan. That statement of his jarred me a little bit, because Prabhupada wrote or said any of the processes of devotional service is adequate for reaching perfection or something like that, attaining the goal of life or something like that. So would you defend Ayanda's statement that no other process is complete without chanting? Since there's no other way.
Well, if this question is asked to me personally, what I think, from my personal knowledge, from what I've learned in my life, I don't see how any of our Krishna consciousness can be anywhere complete without us chanting the holy names. There's no way. I mean, as you can see in this letter, Prabhupada puts so much emphasis on kirtan on one side, and then the second thing that comes to that is chanting the japa. These are the two most important things that just explains it by itself, that as much as other things, I mean, if you go further into what Ayanthu said, he says, you know, there's other possibilities that can bring you, and it's just a question of time. The thing is that, do you want to spend 700,000 years achieving that goal, or do you want to spend it in 3 years, you know, focusing on this, and eventually attaining this much quicker, in a much nicer process? Such an easy process, actually. And this gives this lays out the importance.
There's a little comment that when we are supposed to get initiated, and Prabhupada asked our souls to promise to our 16 rounds daily, for me, that's the most, first during the stage master is in our 16 rounds.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine.
Yes.
Just one response. We wouldn't know about the glories of the holy name without the process of struggling. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
If Shravana is complete, the world will not be followed over here. And we hear the district chant. So finally, it's not really chanting.
And I mean, there's one purport, I didn't put it in my presentation, but what Prabhupada was saying, and I mean, it's rare, but I don't see him often use the word dumb for people. And he said that this is exactly why there's a Hare Krishna Mahamantra, is that from the dumbest people to the most smart people, it's available to every single person. And that's why it's the process. I mean, like we said, there's other things on the side you can do, to elevate yourself, but that is the process that's given to everyone, that's achievable by every single person. No matter if you're smart, if you can understand, if you cannot understand, this is given to you, and the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is what's going to lift you up. You just have to have the faith in it and go forward with it. So, can I go?
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
I would like to quote Gurujan Prabhu. When he started his class, he said, now we would have kirtan. He said, because I want everyone to be punctual, come before kirtan starts, because without kirtan, you cannot understand anything.
How can we serve the deities without the holy name? How can we ever achieve becoming Krishna's friend without the holy name, or surrendering everything without the holy name? They're kind of part and parcel, It's very impossible without.
That's very true because it's mentioned actually. The other process you can do them doesn't mean you will cheat the others. But this is the one process. If you achieve in this process, the others will come, will all come together. And I just want to finish with this last thing is that, you know, we usually learn by our example, from the example of our acharyas. And our foremost acharyas, Lord Swami Mahaprabhu, and I mean, what was he doing the whole time? It's Harinam Sankirtan, Kirtan, Harinam Sankirtan, the whole time. That was his constant thing he was doing. And I mean, in the same time, that's what we look up to, and that's what we should be doing. And so, I mean, that's just with the emphasis on this. If he spent his whole life, if Krishna came to earth just to spend his whole pastime and his whole life doing this, exactly, just chanting the Maha Mantra and showing to us how to do it, that's there's no other question if that's the answer or not. He never spent time doing 7 years of deity worship on the side and emphasizing deity worship. No, it was just kirtan the whole day, go out and spread the holy name. So I need to give my place to Krishna.
It's okay.
Thank you very much.
That was profound. That's the first time I heard it. I didn't see the presentation before, so I don't know how this is supposed to follow. Sorry. It's a different presentation. It's a different slant. He said that I'm going to talk about the practical aspects of kirtan, but even then, even we don't, in Islam, we don't have standards really for real solid standards for practical process. So I'm going to talk about just... First of all, I'd like to say that I feel a little like very embarrassed that I'm trying to give a lecture on standards to all of you devotees who, without question, have 10,000 times more taste for kirtan than me. And so when I was asked to give a lecture on kirtan, I thought, let me think of, okay, the only thing I know, like, I'm struggling for the taste, but something that I've had a lot of time to reflect on is the importance that the music in the kirtan has on the kirtan itself. And it's something that I feel that in a lot of lectures we talk about kirtan, but we often neglect the musical part. We almost talk about it like an extended japa, like a group japa of kirtan. And there's a lot of power in chanting together, but we shouldn't neglect that the music also has something that inspires something in us. And I want to talk about the importance of music in the kirtan, and I want to start with a conversation that Manu told me he had with Ridhar Sanyaprabhu. They were talking about, I think Manu was trying to emphasize the importance of music in kirtan because we are musicians and this is what we're trying to keep pushing forward. And Ridhar Sanyaprabhu was saying, I'm not saying you're a bad musician. That's I'm just saying that he was testing. And he was saying, oh, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that our kirtan should not be musical. In fact, it should just not be musical. And I think somewhere I read that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati he didn't lead musical kirtans. And so so that as in ISKCON, we have so many musicians, and this is especially the musician, it's like it confuses us, like, so what should we do with our musical ability? Should we just why did Bhaktivedanta Saraswati say that we shouldn't have any, you know, musical input into our kirtan? And why was Prabhupada such an expert musician? This is a paradox. It doesn't make any sense to us. So I thought about it, and then there's the famous saying that Prabhupada always says, time, place, and circumstance. And that's the thing that really explains it, because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his day, he de-emphasized the music because he said that it distracted the people from the chanting of the holy name. That's very respectable, because he's really pushing forward just the holy name and, you know, cutting aside all distractions. But Prabhupada, he came to the West and he understood that the situation is different, so we need to act according to time, place, and circumstance. And I think we can also see in our own examples as well that as I had one conversation with Guru Padmapurva. He said that we had one, well, it was like a very nice kirtan, and musically, you know, speaking. And he said, wow, that was really nice. Because the music was so, you know, expertly handled, I could concentrate on the holy name more, because then I wasn't so distracted by the, I don't know, disturbance. You know, sometimes there can be clash. And for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, this would be like, it's good. We won't think about the music. But for, as Westerners, it seems that we're quite attached to the outward packaging of products that we get. So like, we take the holy name and the packaging around the holy name, which is the music, seems to be a big thing that affects us. In fact, me and Manu have had the very direct experiences that once we've been taking care of the kirtan in the evening, you know, really solidly, we have so many people coming. It's not like we didn't chant before. We just took the kirtan very, like, took the musical aspect especially very seriously, because we feel that, especially in the Western mentality, we need these pushes. We need these pushes. Like, sometimes the taste for chanting the holy name is there, but sometimes it might not be enough to just make us, like, go to the temple and chant or something in congregation. We just think, okay, just chant the japa. But on the other hand, if the kirtan is crazy, we see that quite often some people are, this is strange. This is too much for me. This is crazy. So very, very realistically, the quality of music has a big effect on our inspiration to chant the holy name. And so I'll show you a couple of pictures of Prabhupada taking his special attention to actually you have to go to the PowerPoint.
You can just press escape and you can find it. It's on already.
Prabhupada was a direct disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but this is an example of how much attention he's giving to the quality of the, especially the musical presentation of the kirtan. Next one.
They were making an album.
Yeah. He made it very expertly. All his albums are, I mean, he's an expert in, like, all these musical, it's like this, I can explain very professionally what he's doing. This is a very complicated stroke, what he's doing. It is. It's quite difficult. And look at that big mic. Obviously, the facilities were very high quality as well. This is a very interesting picture, I thought. When I first saw it, I thought it looked like he was in a hospital or something. With all the wires. But there's a lot of attention, a lot of detail given to the musical presentation. So that's enough, right? So in the West, because we're so conditioned, sometimes we don't receive the Holy Name just directly. We don't just take it directly. Sometimes we need other attractions. Like Prabhupada recognized this very immediately. He was very expert at recognizing how to bring people to Krishna consciousness. And one thing was a cultural performance that will attract people to Krishna consciousness. And it's not just only because of like the chanting of the Holy Name that people come to Krishna consciousness. We have the Polish Tour Festival, we have many cultural festivals that attract people to the Krishna consciousness. It's not just the syllables of the Holy Name. There's many, many decorations that are also important. And part one of these that I said once again was it's kind of neglected is the musical. I mean, now it's getting a lot of getting a lot of emphasis, but for some time because of quotes like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's quote about music is not important, but it is important according to time, place, and circumstance. So I want to read a quote, a little passage of where Prabhupada has his views about music. One day. This is by one of his disciples in the earlier days, I think. I'm not sure which. I forgot to write it down. Which disciple? What is one disciple? One day, His Divine Grace was somewhere where a raga was being played on a sitar. And he asked, and this disciple asked, do you like this music? Oh, no, Prabhupada asked the disciple, do you like this music? Naively attempting to be Krishna conscious about it, I answered, I like Srila Narottam Das Thakur's music better. His Divine Grace said, No. I mean, do you like this music? And I answered, the disciple asked, yes, Srila Prabhupada, I've actually always liked Indian classical music. He said, and Prabhupada said, yes, it is very beautiful. It uplifts the consciousness towards Krishna and the spiritual world. So here, this I found this very beautiful, very beautiful. And has a special, has special importance for me as well because I'm very, I like to take care of the music. And he says it uplifts the consciousness towards Krishna and the spiritual world. And we know the three modes of nature, and we know that the best way to get to Krishna consciousness is through the mode of, it's like from the launching pad, you could say, of the mode of goodness. If the kirtan is situated in the mode of goodness, what is kirtan in the mode of goodness? Kirtan in the mode of goodness means organization, means having it together, means sweet, means mellow. Okay, sometimes we have really fired up kirtans, but that's transcendental. It's still organized, usually. But from the mode of goodness, we come. It's easier to go to advance into the in Krishna consciousness, and if we have kirtans where the music is neglected, even though we have facilities to bring about good musical standards, we have teachers, we have players, we have everything. If that's neglected, it's a little bit in the mode of ignorance. For example, I can give one example that cooking in the kitchen, we have so much, we have such high standards for cooking, and we have such quality cooks, and then we have first class prasadam, and this way we attract people so much to the Krishna consciousness is by our prasadam. And sometimes I feel like, in one concert we went, and again, this is very funny. We had like 20 people working on the prasadam buffet, and we had like three people on stage doing the concert, and I was leading the concert. I was, you know, with like one mridanga player, one kaito player, and it's like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It was really kind of uninspiring because there was, it seems like we had so much emphasis on the prasadam, and less than, like, we were chanting the holy name constantly, but because the people, maybe, you know, they weren't affected by the holy name directly, but the music, we had a chance to attract them by the music and to become, so that they become positively, you know, enhanced to listen and participate, but they didn't have that impetus. So, we couldn't, you know, smash through their barriers of conditioning to get to them just by the holy name. I don't know, maybe it's probably because I am so unqualified. But, yeah, it's like that. So, what I'm saying kind of is that music, the way we use music in kirtan in a way, because it's not so important, our bhakti isn't measured by our musical standards. Our bhakti is measured by our attachment to the holy name and our attachment to Krishna. Music, when we go to the spiritual world, we become all professional musicians. In the material world, the music is, there's just so many flaws. As you become a little more, you just see there's so many flaws. Even if you see someone who's like such an amazing musician, but just because we're in the material world, there's so many flaws. So music standards are not so important in advancing Krishna consciousness. But it's a way to, especially for some people who are so attached to the packaging of the holy name, it can help to cheat their mind. I don't know if that's okay to use cheat. Cheat their mind into chanting the holy name. If we have just someone going, Hare Krishna, with no musical. If it just sounds musically, you know, kind of nonsense musically, then people might be a little bit turned off. But if we have a really, you know, really nice organization of like music and everything, and it inspires, as I was reading in Schopenhauer, in philosophy, I bring Schopenhauer up for some reason. He said that music has such a profound impact on our consciousness. It can affect us very deep. So the music can cheat our mind into accepting the holy name, and then we get the benefit from chanting the holy name in a positive attitude. Sometimes we chant, and we're feeling, you know, like this is such a drag, and we might crack. We might just give up suddenly. If we don't have kirtans, then some of us wouldn't make it. I mean, yeah, I've been talking about myself. I'm sure all of you. But for me, kirtan is very important because japa, it's sometimes a drag. Sometimes I feel very good because I just, you know, to get the taste is very, it's a real effort. But music, I can enter into a positive consciousness where I'm chanting the holy name in a positive way, and then I feel like in tune with I feel more in tune with the holy name, which is a very positive thing. If I have, you know, name, if I'm always thinking, oh, Jesus, Hare Krishna, so tired, I'm so tired. then it's not helping as much as if we have like, wow, Krishna, Hare Krishna mantra is so beautiful. There's so many ways to sing it, so many melodies. I love it. So in this way, like, music helps in a very real and very, very big way. So again, I have to say, you don't just because I'm saying that, you know, having a musical expertise in kirtan, you know, is a great bonus. It doesn't mean that your bhakti is going to be judged by musical standards. Rather, I'm stressing that, at least in ISKCON, we've gotten to a stage where we can actually, you know, upgrade our cultural standards to in such a way that as many people as possible can be attracted to Krishna consciousness. One of these, yeah, is by having high musical standards. And we do have quite high musical standards in Radhajats. I like it a lot. I mean, it's great here. And I went, actually, for this presentation, I went on YouTube to look for kirtans that were bad, you know, like, not bad, but like, you know, like a mess. So I would like, you know, bad kirtans. I didn't know how to search for it. Then I thought, most ecstatic kirtans, they're going to be bad. But actually, they were good. They were, I thought, you know, it's good. The standards are good. But even then, sometimes we have kirtans where it's messy. And for attracting people to Krishna consciousness, a mess doesn't attract you. It won't. If you're still attached to the outer packaging, then the mess is all that you see. That's why, like, we have such an expansive Polish tour program, which is so much emphasis on the outer packaging. You know, we have the Maharajis dressed up in the most exotic way. It's crazy. And then they have their dance, which is very structured, and some people think that it's robotic, but it's got order, it's got organization. In the same way, kirtan, which is, you know, our thing, you know, kirtan, which is somehow, why was this neglected? No, I'm not saying it's neglected. We still chant, and we have a lot of taste going in. I'm so humbled by how much taste people in Radhadish have for the holy name. But sometimes the music is a little bit neglected. And that's kind of what my presentation is about. It's a little bit about the effect of music on help aiding the consciousness in chanting the holy name. That's the presentation. So as a final note, I would like to express thanks on behalf of... We had our small evening kirtan group. It started quite small, but I'm very grateful to everybody for coming. Like, now we have, like last night, we had practically the whole community. It was really inspiring. And Vidajitanipu, Yaradanan Swami, they were saying, wow, you know, it's really nice that you're inspiring people to come to the kirtan. But actually, it doesn't work like that at all. If we were just a few of us, we would not make it. It's so nice that everybody's coming. And this is what's keeping it going. We would give up if you didn't come. So, it's really nice that you come, and we just encourage you to come as much as you can. Sit, that's about practical, sit a little bit closer to the kirtan and participate a little more. Then you'll see that sometimes we think that, you know, we need Madhava for a fantastic kirtan. That's not true. What Madhava, why we have good kirtans with people like Madhava, people with like Radhana Swami, you know, they're chanting the holy name. But what is special is that they symbolize kirtan. And when we see them, we think, now is the time for kirtan. And then we sit and we meditate on kirtan, but it's not. We don't need to have these personalities here for us to chant kirtan enthusiastically. It's here. It happens here. And we can have Madhava's kirtan, we can have Radhana Swami's kirtan, we can have everybody's kirtan in the temple every day if we just come and we apply ourselves. Sometimes it seems like some people are shy and they sit back. Many people. So I encourage everybody just come in front, and then we can have kirtan together, more together. And it's really nice that we have kirtans in the evening every day, because Prabhupada, he said that we should have every day 2 hours every day in the evening. And, okay, we do 1 hour. But 1 hour is still quite good, considering that everybody has their duties and everybody has to, you know, they have to wake up in the morning. But anyway, I'm really happy with the kirtan in Mayapur, actually, and I'm giving a presentation on kirtan standards, but I'm not saying that we have bad standards. I'm just emphasizing the music just because I don't have anything else to talk about. So that's it. Thank you. I'm not sure where this is first, but did I try to Google?
Yeah, just a comment on your second student about faith and charisma. Because when we were coming back from the airport, there was Swami and Dr. Hari Prabhu, myself, and Manu Hari, Manu Prabhu, and then we were glorifying the evening kirtan. And then Manu Prabhu made a point that if both of you want to get some more emphasis on the musical elements, the playing instruments, etc. So then I say a quote which I heard, I'm not sure if I've read it, that Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Swami played out of tune.
Yeah, I heard this too.
Yeah. Not that he didn't like music, I do believe that Sri Bhaktisiddhanta very much likes music, but I think at that time he tested his disciples, his followers, to make sure that they do not forget the attention of the holy name, and that the instruments are secondary, although important, but secondary. I mean, the same he did with the Mahaprasadam. At some point when he saw that his followers were too picky, this samosa, this cheese, then he told them, just mix all the Mahaprasadam, sweet and salt, this is good. And then, and then everybody was served nicely a little quantity of Mahaprasadam, and not just the first ones were, nicely served. But it's not that he applied that all the time. Neither is it that he all the time played out of tune. It's just what I understand from this is this were just lessons he gave to put a certain accent. And you explained it nicely, so I'm happy with the explanation. But I didn't want the devotees to leave the room thinking that Bhaktisiddhanta didn't like music. That's very
I heard that he was tone deaf. But maybe someone was just interpreting. Someone maybe read that he sang out of tune, so maybe they just oh. So. But I heard it from someone. Heard it from someone. But it's fact.
I have one suggestion in this regard. Maybe one of the college students, maybe one of you who are very much into music, you could do a research exactly. Because this quote of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, I have heard it in different times. And it will be good to look. Now we have two biographies. We have Bhaktivikas Maharaja's biography, the three volumes. So you could check there what it is. And Paranava Prabhu has done his PhD on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. He's one of our teachers. You could contact them and find out exactly what are the quotes, to be precise, for the sake of having what exactly it is. Because I also hear that sometimes he will correct disciples who were very good singers, and he saw that they were proud, and in order to rectify them, he will ask someone else who was not such a good singer to sing. And even Srila Prabhupada did that. He stopped when he saw. We should consider that this was in Bengal. In Bengal, kirtan, beautiful kirtan, is very, very important. And we see sometimes, also in Mayapur, sometimes there are the singers who like to sing to, I'm singing. So Srila Prabhupada, in more than one occasion, he stopped the singer. So I hear that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he will do that sometimes with singers who were proud of their singing. But it will be good to research exactly what really happened. Otherwise, everyone is making the interpretation. And anyway, it's a suggestion for.
I like it.
I went when I was in Bengal. I went to a few 24-hour kirtans, which were not based on by Eastern devotees. And what they do is they have two groups of musicians. They go on for 2 hours each, and then so when they're not on stage, they're smoking and doing other things, and they're not actually pure devotees. So what happens is they sing and they play their instruments very professionally, and the audience just listens. They don't chant. So that's how they do it outside ISKCON. So when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is saying such a thing, he's trying to emphasize that the audience chants, not that they just watch these musicians.
Yeah, it's emphasis on the holy name. The music is the company.
For me, every kirtan is another form of Krishna, jai. However, there is one subtle thing that I often notice, because I'm also a musician and also lead kirtan. The volume of instruments and the volume of the holy name, when I'm in a kirtan, what I hear, what is more loud, that is very important for me, because if the instruments are too loud, then I can't focus on the holy name. So what is that?
Yeah, Sanghu said that the voice should be loudest. And I'm probably like the biggest culprit here. I play around very loud, but I'm starting to tone it down. But in our consciousness, whatever we hear loudest is naturally what we are pushed to pay most attention to, just because we are. Whatever the loudest takes the most attention. But so it should be, the holy name should be the loudest. Andra said that singing should be twice as loud as Vrindavan. And yeah, this sometimes we try, sometimes we fail. Sometimes we get too excited, and the kirtan leader is not loud enough, and Vrindavan leader is too excited. Talking about myself.
Is it kirtan? Of closely involved with Krishna, the quality that we feel more close to Krishna, isn't it that
the one that
uplifts the devotee's consciousness or the people's consciousness, that they think, you know, I'm getting closer to the Lord. I think for me, this is my challenge, but it's the same as if you play your dance or anything, that you become closer to the Lord. That's for me the most important point, and I put in any instrumental singing or dancing.
Exactly, and like Jayantaka was saying, and I'm also going to add it, is that to bring people closest to Krishna means to emphasize the holy name in the kirtan. So these are practical details that I said that I would say, but I didn't. But like, the mridanga shouldn't bring the attention to the mridanga, to himself. The singer shouldn't bring attention to his beautiful voice. The karta player shouldn't be doing something so crazy that it distracts everybody. The holy name, syllables, that should be our attention. And in the moment, you know, just like we chant japa, we chant one mantra at a time. In kirtan, we should chant one mantra at a time. And the music, it helps in, like I said, I don't know if I made this up, but we cheat our mind into sometimes we don't have the taste, but we'll go for it anyway, because the music is molding our consciousness, molding our head, kind of, you know, easing us into chanting the holy name.
I just want to say on a technical aspect, because we say sometimes the people are playing too loud or there's too much emphasis on the instrument. Okay, it's true. But there's one thing when you learn harmonium from a bona fide teacher, is that he says when you learn, your voice has to automatically be twice as loud as the harmonium. No matter how loud the harmonium is, you have to train your voice so that it's louder than the harmonium. And this is very important, because you shouldn't always rely on a microphone. Because there are times you won't have a microphone, and if you have 50 people and you want to move the kirtan up a notch, it has to get a little more loud. And if your voice is not trained for that, it's not going to work. And that's why it's very, very important to train your voice also, so that you can sing louder and you sing with the harmonium. And in this way, you can actually put that emphasis on the holy name. Because if you don't do that physical effort, it's not going to just be an emphasis of, I mean, oh, I'm thinking about Krishna, okay, now I'm singing, okay, it's all coming out perfectly. No, you also have to put the physical emphasis on it
to help other people. Yeah, there's another reason why we should, you know, start getting a little bit training on pushing the force, voice forward so people can take it. Like Manali is the strongest voice I know.
Sorry. One thing we should remember is that music is coming from Goloka Vrindavan. In Brahma Samhita, we find the verse that in the spiritual world, every step is a dance, every word is a song. So it's not something from the material world. And I remember once I went for a preaching program in the university, and there was one lady who was working in the, she was training people to sing in the chorus. And then she quoted a bishop, a famous bishop in Spain, who said that the most beautiful way of worshiping God is by singing for God. And I like that. This is what we do. We are singing for Krishna. This is the most beautiful form of worshiping Krishna, singing. So it is not, it's actually moving the heart towards Krishna by getting into the music, then naturally the holy name is there. And it is Sankirtan, congregation chanting.
Maybe a last comment on the importance of actually the musical aspect is that when you do something for Krishna, when you do it, you try to do it as well as you can. When you cook, it's not, oh, because I want to please Krishna, I'm cooking, but then you don't care what the outcome is. No, you care. You do your best. You put every best ingredient you have. You make everything so that it comes out perfectly. And in a kirtan, it's exactly the same process. It's not just because inside maybe you might be chanting purely that you shouldn't care for the rest. It also should be an important aspect, because that means unless you're doing your best, you're not giving the best you can to Krishna. And that's why it's also important, this musical aspect, because that's, you want to please Krishna, you want to give the best you can. You don't want to just give your, okay, you feel like this, but my talents, I'll put them aside because, I mean, it's all materialistic. No, you really want to give your best, either materialistic or spiritual, you give everything to Krishna. That's why it's also important to have a kirtan that's of high standards and that it's the best you can do.
Yeah, like Krishna says, Bhaktam Pushpam Phalam Swayam. He doesn't say we need these fancy prasadam to satisfy him. But we go at it fully. We make the best, we make super prasadam for him. And I don't know, maybe it's because we eat it afterwards. But in kirtan, we sometimes, maybe it's because it doesn't fill our stomach that we're not giving our fullest, but our devotion to the holy name is emphasized when we give more to the holy name. And in prasadam we do it. And in kirtan, we can do better. We can do better. We have the best prasadam standards, and we don't have the best music standards.
It sometimes you see a musician and somebody is playing, and it doesn't really, it's not really expert on the view, but you definitely feel inspired by the devotion. And you really feel it. I mean, it is loaded by the feelings, and this is what you get. So you know, music can be also very destructive. I mean, sometimes music can drive you crazy because it doesn't have any devotion. It actually has completely opposite direction. So if you use this vehicle, I mean the others can feel it and go along with your conversation. But it's the same with the driving, the same with cooking, the same with any kind of activity, any position. It is not loaded with that feeling. I mean, you don't go anywhere, you don't desire anymore. So I think it's a wonderful tool.
Like if we give a lot of attention to chanting the holy name and also to the music, then other people also because you're giving so much attention, I find that if someone is distracted speaking to you, you're distracted listening to them. But if someone gives a lot of attention speaking to you, you give a lot of attention back. And it's very similar. But one last question.
There's a comment on the Radharani's point. Vyasaki said that there are three components to music. There's one that you mentioned, emotion, and that's called bhava. And then the music is called raga, and the rhythm is called taal. So those three things.
Yeah, all these. Yeah, if something is off, certain people like Rupa Mahaprabhu, he would notice. He's a musician. He would just like, and it would tick him. And for me, oh my god. Sometimes when it's off, it's... Sometimes I have to leave. Because I can't focus. So maybe in certain places, maybe in Bengal, it was a little different. They could focus on the holy name or events like that. But in the West, sometimes, like I said, the packaging is important. And if it's a little off, then we get distracted. So that needs to be together. Then we can focus.
I know it's the last, but this thing, because, I mean, in our sampradaya we have so many people who are swerved down there. He would be so expert. I mean, it's not that it's like, somebody could have a feeling that actually in Bengal they were just singing, but actually they, you know, it was so expert, and we sing every morning in Gurvashtakam, how spiritual master is expert with singing instruments, and, you know, like, far down that he would have such an expertise in ragas that he would follow each bhava of Lord Chaitanya as it would come. And Narottam Das Thakur and so many other brothers that were following, and, you know, Gadagir, Kirtans in Jagannath Puri. It's not that we have a sampradaya, which is, but as we have the deity and we dress the deity the best that we can, but still, even if the deity is undressed, the holy name is the main thing, and then the music comes and decorates as we do for. But if we have all the decoration, then we decorate the deity. But if we don't have anything, like peacocks, they gave a feather to Krishna. They didn't have more. So the point is, I mean, clearly to give. But I just wanted to stress that we really have in our sampradaya so many exalted souls that were going in such sophisticated levels of raga. And Bhaktivinoda Saraswati is surely one of them, which is coming from, you know, such a high-class family, who could most certainly appreciate all the, you know, delicacy of classical raga system and everything like that. But if he wanted to push what's number one and what's number two.
Yeah. The descriptions of the kirtans in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, if you read them, I don't know if you have, but it's insane. 16 rangal players, 12 singers, 6 leading singers, and 6 following singers. That means the 6 leading singers are so expert that they will be in tune, all 6 together. That is requires the most incredible expertise, to be in tune, 6 people at the same time. And then the 6 followers also have to be expert. And it's obviously the musical quality was clearly not de-emphasized. It's very strong in his life, and I'm sure he loved it. I like that we like to talk about this music in kirtan. I like it a lot, and I think it should be kind of a discussion in ISKCON because it's such a powerful tool, and it's a bit neglected. As I said, it was such a powerful tool, but we have breakfast.
Next week's topic of class will be given by Mahendra Prabhu.
Vivo!
Native worship. We're moving to the next angle of the worship. Thank you.